Funes, who's a spokesman for the Vatican, last year came out with a statement, it's just unbelievable, and said, well, the extraterrestrial is our brother. I mean, that's a quote. The extraterrestrial is our brother. So what are we being set up for? You know, what's coming down? And again, in my talk over the weekend, I said, in 1950, one UFO sighting was reported in the month of December. One. 1950. One sighting in December. Jump forward to 2008, 339 sightings were reported in the month of December. And the people who track these things believe that it's a very conservative number, because most people are afraid to come forward and report the sighting for fear of ridicule. So do you think the phenomenon is burgeoning? It's not going away. The church needs to wake up and deal with it. And that's what, you know, I write about this stuff. Tom Horn does. David Flynn does. I mean, a bunch of us write about, from slightly different perspective, what the phenomenon is, and all goes back at Genesis 6, and it's the return of a Nephilim. Let me just close that thought with this. Jesus says himself that in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. It's sort of a cryptic, very enigmatic phrase in Scripture. And it immediately begs the question, what differentiates the days of Noah than any other time in recorded history? And that, of course, is the presence of the B'nai Elohim, the fallen angels, dwelling openly, manifesting openly on the earth. And that's, in my opinion, what we see now. Is it the same as it was in Genesis 6? No. Which actually fulfills another prophecy in Daniel, where it says that they will mix their seed with the seed of men, with the seed of women, or with women. They will mix their seed with women, but will not cleave to them. So it's in the first incursion in Genesis 6, they took in marriage whoever they wanted to. In this incursion, in the latter days from the book of Daniel, they're mixing their seed, which is what they're doing, but there's no cleaving. And the word cleaving there is the same Hebrew word that's used and given in marriage. They're not cleaving. There's no marriage, which is exactly what the phenomenon is doing in today's real time.
Well, you were mentioning you believe this is the great deception. Mm-hmm. I believe you're taking us to 2 Thessalonians mm-hmm. 2, verses 8 through 12.
Correct. Now,
and you also mentioned Tom Horn. Tom Horn hosted a Roswell radio for Guy Malone. He had me on the program, oh, it was about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And he and I were talking about that passage. It talks about that there's going to be a, you know, sending a strong delusion upon humanity. This will be, the Antichrist will rise on lying signs and wonders, and the world will be given over to this lie, this great deception. Now, when you break down the words into the original Greek definition, you have pempo, plane, and energeia. And it could be translated pempo, to dispatch, an orderly motion, plane, a deceitful wandering, and energeia, an operative power. It sounds like a message that could have UFO written all over it. A deceitful, operative wandering, powerfully dispatched, and an orderly motion. In essence, probably a well-ordered rank-and-file, razzle-dazzle spectacle that will cause many to believe the lie. So I couldn't agree with you more. My concern about this Antichrist rising on the scene and the world being given over to this lie, this great deception, could very well be this phenomena you're talking about. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we certainly couldn't agree more. When it says Satan comes with all signs and lying wonders, you know, most of us kind of look at that, yawn, and turn the page. It's like, well, that has nothing to do with me, and I won't be here, and all this other stuff. And yet, I think when this thing hits, whether the church is here or not here is irrelevant. I mean, think about the millions of people who are about to be deceived by the greatest deception put on mankind since the history of the world. It's just, it's unbelievable what is coming. And I agree with you know, when you the whole interpretation, how it could mean and certainly alludes to what we can see. Can you imagine if you had a 3-mile-wide craft over, let's say, New York, Washington, Los Angeles, Paris, Moscow, Beijing, just to name a few cities? I mean, you talk about Michael Jackson and the media frenzy, literally, the media frenzy that was just focused on this guy that day. I actually blogged about it. It hit on a Thursday. I blogged about it on Friday. And I just said, you know, this is just unbelievable. This is how it's going to be if we have an event. The whole world will be linked together, except Michael Jackson's funeral and death will just pale in comparison. This will be like the most it'll be sort of like the apex of history, of mankind. I mean, it's like, you know, now what? We're not alone, and they're here, and the craft are here. Everything changes. It's a huge global paradigm shift, you know, and the media will be focused on this thing like they were focused on Michael Jackson. So we're seeing everything in real time. They're going to cart out, you know, trot out all the pundits and people and talking, and, you know, someone, I'm sure somewhere will call me and others like me and try to get some sort of a biblical overview of what we're looking at. But, you know, can you imagine if something like this happens and then you go, well, then, you know, that's, you know, you're talking 3-mile-wide craft. That's just silliness. That thing really doesn't exist. And yet we see, like, in the alien interviews, the whole reason for that book, Bill, was to show that the phenomena is real. When you go to the Phoenix Lights, and it was seen by thousands and thousands of witnesses, the craft was between 1 mile and 2 mile wide. It hovered, it flew noiselessly over the city. You know, witnesses have just come out of the woodwork. Yeah, I saw this thing. I looked up. It blotted out the stars. You know, the stars, it moved silently over me. I've never seen anything like it. Fife Simonkin, the former governor, said the same thing. That's 97. Go to 2008, Stevensville, Texas, Ricky Sorrell, and others who saw a craft, was it 1 mile wide, 2 mile wide? This thing is huge, you know, in and around Stevensville, Texas, seen by multiple witnesses. Same thing, English Channel, 2007. The craft was at least 2 miles wide, seen by 2 different pilots, 2 different aircraft, came on the radar, multiple witnesses, everybody went on the record. It's not going away. These people aren't delusional. If it's one craft in one area every 10 years, I wouldn't be writing about it. But I just gave you 3 examples of huge, huge craft. And this is what's going to manifest. You know, it won't be just for the pilots who see this thing for 15 minutes or 9 minutes, whatever it was. It'll just be parked, you know, over Los Angeles and the cities of the world that I mentioned. And that, I believe, is the coming great deception. People will believe a lie, and the lie is this, that aliens, so-called extraterrestrials, created us. Now, I'm not making this up. This is what they say. This is what channelers and mediums and people who have encounters with these beings, this is what they say. I call it the alien gospel, that the aliens created us. They genetically manipulated us. They started the world's religions. They were responsible for all the miracles of the Bible. They're back at this critical juncture in our history to usher us into the Galactic Federation. That sounds like a Star Trek movie. I'm not making any of it up. If you Google Rael, R-A-E-L, there's 70,000 people that belong to his organization worldwide. They're setting up an embassy in Jerusalem to welcome the so-called extraterrestrials. It is literally antithetical to what we as Bible-believing Christians hold dearly. I mean, it is just apples and oranges, the never the twain shall meet. And this is why I write what I write and talk about, you know, on your show and other shows, to try to get the church to wake up, to look at the phenomena, so when it hits, people won't be swept away.
Well, you know, Funes of the Vatican suggests that these extraterrestrials are our brothers, and of course, Cain and Abel were brothers, and we know what that story led to. But, you know, it says in the Bible that angels are to be ministering spirits to those that would inherit salvation. It also tells us elsewhere that a lot of the angels fell and left their first estate, their proper habitation. And then we see Paul in Ephesians 6:12 saying, "For we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, what you're suggesting, I'm trying to find some biblical connections to the phenomena that you're talking about. We talked about 2 Thessalonians. We're talking about Paul here telling us that behind the scenes in the invisible realm, it isn't that karmic things are happening. What's happening is we're actually wrestling with these fallen beings that left their proper habitation. Now, what we're saying is that there's going to be a campaign. It's already manifesting, but it's going to be blatant, and it's going to be filled with lying signs and wonders in a platform from which the Antichrist will come in on the scene and cause great deception that many people in the world would believe the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it isn't that we're just out in Star Trek.
No, we're not.
We're talking about biblically founded information. Now, are there other biblical connections we can make for the listeners that kind of connect? You talked about the days of Noah. Is there any other things you can
think of? Jesus himself, Matthew 24, telling you even the elect would be deceived if that were possible. I mean, which immediately begs the question, what kind of deception are we looking at that would cause even the elect would, you know, to go, whoa, what are we looking at here? You know, and it's like, this is, it's not just a typical heresy thing of a New Age movement. I mean, everybody kind of went yawn, you know, when the New Age came. I mean, we've had all the rebuttal on it, and people know what it is. But if you get something this overwhelming, I'm telling you, man, I had an encounter. I've had two encounters. One when I was like 11 or 12 at Boy Scout camp. I saw the classic UFO, silver disc, you know, 1950 type silver disc, with three other boys at Boy Scout camp. We ran back. By 5 o'clock that night, the other three boys recanted their story, okay? And I didn't. I just sat there. I know what I saw. And it was the classic silver disc hovering in a blue sky for about 15 to 25 seconds, and the thing took off straight up in the air in a blink of an eye, was gone. And the second one, and this is the one I want to mention, happened about 4 or 5 months ago, happened this year. My wife and I are coming back from having a nice little Italian dinner, and we're driving north on Pacific Coast Highway. It's about 8:30 at night. It's pitch black. Stars are out, you know, faint. I think there might have been a faint moon, but nothing real bright. And there's no street lights, okay, on Pacific Coast Highway. And as we're driving, I go, gee, what's that? And she goes, yeah, what is that? And we're looking at this thing, and it's just this very, very bright light in the sky. And I go, well, it's not a planet. It's way too big for that, because it was huge. Way too big for that. About the size of my pinky nail. If I hold my arm out in front of me and lift up my little finger, that's about how big it was, about the size of my pinky nail. And it was, you know, visibility at night was at least 10 miles. So it was, you know, somewhere in that field. It was hard, no other markers around it. It was hard to say, you know, how big it was or where it was actually located. But as we watched this thing, there were no blinking lights. It just sat there. And then as we're watching it, above it appears another light, smaller, which then descends into the larger light. And at that point, I said to my wife, well, we've just left Kansas. Absolutely, we're not in Kansas anymore. And as I watched this thing, it began to dissipate. It began to disappear. And as it did, it actually grew. It expanded and then disappeared. And then, like, about a minute later, bam, it blinked back on. It did this two or three times. And so what it did to me, and here's a guy, you know, I'm Mr. UFO guy, right? I'm, you know, written three books on the Nephilim, on the whole UFO phenomena, two other books which are fiction, two other books which are nonfiction. You know, I'm well versed in this stuff, talk about it constantly, always telling people to be aware and rebuke first and ask questions later. And that phrase, rebuke first and ask questions later, came from this encounter, because I realized I was overwhelmed by what I had seen. I was like, wow, did you see that? Instead of going, in the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus surrounds myself, my wife, this car. You have no power. You must leave by the blood of Jesus. That's what I should have done, and I didn't. So, you know, here I am. I'm taking in. You know, the elect could be deceived if that were possible. I'm taking it, and all this thing is a light which is doing stuff that is beyond anything I've ever seen before. I didn't see a craft. We saw a light. But it was doing things that, you know, lights normally don't do, especially that little light appearing above it and then descending into the larger light. Very, very bizarre. So, you know, when you read scriptures like that that tell us that even the elect would be deceived if that were possible, I think that that's a literal interpretation, that what is coming is going to be very overwhelming.
Well, and so did you experience that in the daylight? Because there's still a lot of UFO sightings continuing in the daylight, aren't there?
Yeah, we've seen some new ones down in Mexico, also in China, same thing. Lights, and in fact, some of these were very similar to what I saw, only in reverse. Instead of a light being spewed out of the larger light, a little light coming, you know, like I saw, appearing and then descending, some of these show the light and then a large light, and then all of a sudden, you know, 5 or 10 smaller lights will emerge from the larger light and begin to fly and dance around. It's just unbelievable. Daylight, you know, photographs being seen by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of witnesses. So, you know, again, the phenomenon is real, burgeoning, and not going away. It's manifesting. The church needs to wake up, get its head out of the sand, and begin to address what we are looking at.
Well, you know, we're talking about several things that really have got the world living in a fever pitch here, thinking apocalyptically. 2012 is a big sensational thing going on. You've got concerns about electromagnetic pulse bombs going off, shutting down countries, electronic systems in countries, be it Iran. Some people even say America needs to be prepared for something like this. There was an article, I think Newsweek put it out last November, that is Obama the Antichrist. Of course he's not. But where I'm going with this is that we are living in a time right now where the world is very concerned, secular humanity is very concerned, and very ripe for great deception, very concerned that we are perhaps been thrust into the last days. Now, I personally believe we are, and I believe you do too. How far into the last days are we? How much time's left till things start to unwind? And what's holding back this the great UFO campaign that could be the lie? Well, give me some thoughts on that.
Well, you know, we hear in 2 Thessalonians, until he who restrains, and he seems to be a personal pronoun, there are many people believe that it's the Holy Spirit. From that, they postulate that the rapture will occur, and that rapture is what's holding, the fact that Christians are here is what's holding all this from manifesting. And that certainly is a scenario. It could be right. It also could be talking about, because it's a personal pronoun, it also could be talking about an angelic being. In other words, when we go to Daniel, we realize that there is powers and principalities that are over certain regions. For instance, when Daniel prays, and 21 days later, finally, Gabriel shows up. He says, hey, I would have come here, but I had to get Michael, which immediately begs the question, well, why didn't you just do an end run? I mean, why didn't you just go, you know, come up through some other country, or come up, you know, or just do an end run, go 1,500 miles the other direction? There seems to be portals. We don't get a glimpse of this. This is all very highly speculative on my part, but there seems to be doorways that pass between that dimension and this dimension, that somehow the angel, and he appeared, you know, he not in a vision. I mean, he appeared to Daniel. He was there, you know, in the flesh. He was there, just like the angels who appears to Abraham, the same thing. They're there. It's not, yeah, they're spirit beings, but they, you know, when they go into Sodom and Gomorrah, they want to have, the people there want to have sex with them. I mean, they're not just, they're spirit beings, but they're not, you know, ethereal. They're not just, you know, air or visions. I mean, they're real. You can touch them. I think when Jesus is resurrected, he comes walking through a wall. It's exactly the same attributes that angels do. When an angel appears to Peter in a jail cell, he just manifests in the jail cell. He just walks through the wall and appears. Well, Jesus does exactly the same thing. And this, of course, is a prototype of the new Adam, of where we're going, is in his eternal body, his resurrected body, just like the angels are, only slightly different, obviously. So all that to say that these things are beginning to manifest with this portal. The whole idea of a portal is, it are these portals in fact guarded? Is the angels, the good guys who are guarding some of these portals, are they taken out of the way? Are they just given the command, you know, okay, time for the strong delusion to really manifest, and the Lord allows the enemy to, you know, run through the portals and manifest at will? I don't know. It's just a scenario.
Well, it's interesting because there has been some theories floating around out there, and I find them fascinating, regarding the restrainer perhaps being Michael the Archangel.
Mm-hmm.
Because in context, when you talk about Second Thessalonians 2, where that comes up, the restrainer,
mm-hmm.
it appears to be that Paul is trying to take the audience back to what Daniel was talking about the Antichrist. And of course, that would somehow find a connection, because Michael is the prince of the Jewish people, the Michael the Archangel. So anyway, keep going. I don't want to rabbit trail off of that, but some people say it's the church being pulled out, because of course
right.
they do claim the blood of the Lamb, and that would be something that would stand in opposition to burgeoning UFO campaign becoming a reality. Some say, of course, it could be Michael the Archangel. Of course, maybe there's other angels involved with the portholes like you talk about. But anyway you look at it, we've got to be getting pretty near to the end, correct?
I would, you know, look, I'm not a date setter. People ask me all this, you know, they always try to get me to pin that down. And I just, look, I don't know. I have no clue. I would say this. I wrote a piece several weeks ago, and the piece was Get Your House in Order to Accept and Know Who the Lord Is, not just accept him blindly, but, you know, get the supernatural handbook, check out what he did, what he said, who he said he was, the miracles that he performed, just the amazing, and what he promises, believing on him who was crucified for our nasty little deeds, which we've all done. You know, we've all done nasty little deeds, and that's what he died for. And if we believe on him who was sent, which is Yahshua or Jesus in the Greek, if we believe in Jesus, and that his blood atones for our sins, the work of the cross, we have eternal life. That's it. We're done. Eternal life. That's what we're promised. We have eternal life. It is the best deal going. I mean, I can't even imagine a better deal. It is the best deal going. And look what he gets in the bargain. He gets you and me. I mean, it's just...
What a bargain.
It's really great.
I like the way you say best deal going, because both you and I have looked at the other deals competing. Such as Eastern religions and, mm-hmm. and New Age things and mm-hmm. whatnot. So,
you've been immersed in them before.
Yeah, take it from us, folks, that it is the best deal going. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, to die for our sins, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.